This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback. Takes the snap. Retreats in the pocket. Under a rush. Throws across the middle. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome, everybody, to the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. Patriots get the win tonight, 42-20, the final. Patriots now 8-2 and in sole possession of the number one spot in the AFC. The Colts now 6-4 after losing this game, and they move to 3-2 at home at Lucas Oil Stadium, where Bill Belichick, prior to tonight, had not won a game. So the Patriots now 8-2. Big night for Jonas Gray. He's a big part of the story. Four rushing touchdowns for Jonas Gray tonight, who finishes the evening 1 yard shy of 200 yards rushing on his 38 carries tonight, averaging more than 5 yards a carry, 5.2 yards a carry tonight to go along with those four touchdowns, 199 yards rushing. He is obviously a big part of the story for the Patriots, who ran for 244 yards in all on the ground. Again, welcome everybody to the program. I'm Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. We'll be here for the next couple of hours talking about this win for the Patriots and how significant it was. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be taking both your phone calls and your emails for the next few hours here on patriots.com. Before we go any further, let's cue it up. Let's go to the good, the bad, and the injured from tonight's game in Indianapolis.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Well, that's an old one. Old image.
See, the host was wrong. The sponsor was wrong.
Who was the sponsor?
Pretty much everything.
Sun Life Financial.
Yeah. I'd like to remind everyone that we love Microsoft.
Yes.
And this program is brought to you by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. So Xbox One, Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com.
And don't sell yourself short. We love Mark Bertrand, too. We don't need Adam Jones.
Thank you for that. No, you don't. You do not need Adam Jones. Let's get to the good. I started with Jonas Gray. You've got to put him at the top of your list for the Patriots.
Certainly. You know, more than doubled his career everything. carries, yards, touchdowns. He quadrupled it, except not really because, right?
Four isn't quadruple of zero.
Right. I learned that early in math in school, that zero times anything is zero. And you got to put in some combination there the offensive line that dominated. You know, early on that first touchdown, the pile just moved into the end zone behind Ryan Wendell.
Those guys,
Bulmer was in
tonight.
There. I mean, he had a lot of runs, and I'm sure he'll say this because he certainly did it, again, when he had the 86 yards, talking about how, you know, that first run, I was 15 yards downfield, having to get touched. That was a lot of what it was tonight. There were big holes. He hit them. I would include Devlin in there, Gronkowski in there, and not just because those are my guys, but because they were a key part of the blocking. But certainly, you know, Fred Kirsch is going to be obnoxious on Tuesday because Jonas Gray was awesome.
And I would throw, just to add to Andy, I would throw Cameron Fleming in there as well. He was the extra tackle tonight in a lot of those run sets, and I thought, you know, he made a difference too. That's what we thought they might try to do. They might try to run the ball a little bit. No, I didn't envision running the ball like that. And so that was a huge
I also didn't envision that you would need to because – Brady and the passing game was a little suspect.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, sorry.
That's the bad.
Sorry.
It's a bad list.
Elsewhere on the good list.
Rob Gronkowski?
Yes, I think Gronk was good. Not great. You know, certainly was energetic. Certainly was energetic on and off the field in terms of celebrations, in terms of breaking tackles. The last touchdown sort of put a culmination on it, but he had the little, seems like he and Sergio Brown went back and forth a little bit and might have had a little thing going on.
Yeah, Sergio Brown, as Andy said during the game, was who we remembered him being. Not any, taking anything away from him trying to cover Gronkowski. No one else can do that either, but missed tackles, just sloppy play. Gronk was dominant in the run game tonight. And he was just mauling guys and killing people, and he looked like a guy who had enjoyed mauling guys and killing people.
He looks like a guy that's really enjoying playing and getting back to, you know, as he said, smashing and dashing. Today it wasn't really just the dashing with the catches,
but everything, smashing,
you know, hitting people and being physical.
And Brady talked about this week how much he enjoys practicing and just everything about the game. And, you know, this was one of those games tonight where you could see what Brady was talking about.
Gronkowski, 4 catches on 5 targets, 71 yards. Led the team in the game in receiving, had the touchdown late in the game in which he obviously showed some, I don't know how to phrase it, some extra oomph getting into the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, that was a Gronk play. You know, you had the one against Mundy and the Bears a few weeks ago. This was another one of those where he slaps a guy away, breaks a tackle, and then ends up sort of hurtling, falling into the end zone, causing one Mark Bertrand to worry that he landed on his left arm.
Yeah,
but he
I always worry about that. And he did land on that arm, but there was nothing wrong.
I'm past it.
Are you?
The beast is back. I'm not. Something may come down the road, but I'm sort of past where you watch how he gets hit or how he lands and some of those things.
Just with that arm and all the problems he had with that arm, and I'm just always worried that there might be some soft bone there.
He's back,
so to speak.
I'm past that. You know. One thing I'm not past is Darrell Revis's impact on the team. I thought this was a night where you saw them mix it up with Revis quite a bit in terms of zone and man, who he was covering, sort of backside man, a few different factors there. He was involved in what I think was kind of a bad decision, bad throw from Andrew Luck, but he was in Reggie Wayne's mug, deflected the ball, turned into a pick for Devin McCourty. I thought Revis had a really nice game in the back end.
I would agree. I thought that decision to sort of switch things up early on, I thought Reggie Wayne got off to a good start with mostly Browner in coverage, and they switched. They put Revis there, and I think he only had one more catch, Reggie Wayne, from that point on. And there were some zone coverages early, too, I thought that Wayne took advantage of. But I thought that decision to put Revis on him, and they showed a nice little compilation of highlights at the end of the game where you saw just how tight Revis was on Reggie Wayne. He couldn't get away from him. So that was a big plus, too.
What'd you guys make of the linebackers tonight? What'd you make of Jamie Collins?
Phenomenal.
What'd you make of Dante Hightower? They seemed to play a pretty damn good game tonight.
I thought Collins was next on my list of superlatives, the good. I thought he was all over the field. I thought there was some times where he had the pressures again. Most importantly, I thought he tackled really well in space, out on the edges. Wasn't as much fleener, but he was kind of on the edges a little bit more. And I thought he was all over the place, and I think he continues to sort of evolve. And it may be a little slower than some had projected or hoped, but he is certainly an athletic, versatile force in the middle of this Patriots defense right now.
855-PATS-500. Give us your good, your bad from this game tonight as the Patriots get a big win over the Colts. 42-20 is the final. And again, they're now in control of where they go the rest of the way. They're the number one seed. They've got a game on Denver. They've got the tiebreaker against Denver. They've got a couple of games on Cincinnati. They've got the tiebreaker against Cincinnati. They've got games on Indianapolis with a tiebreaker on Indianapolis. They've got tiebreakers right now. They've got control. They've got the most wins. We talked about it prior to the game tonight. That was going to be the headline coming out of this game, and I think it certainly is. They control where this team goes. Do you have home field throughout? Are you the one seed? I think at this point you're pretty much thinking things would have to go south really fast for this team for them to not end up with a bye. They put themselves in a very, very good position after 10 games so far.
Big you have to screw it up. I mean, I think you have literally reached the point where you got to screw it up a little bit because you can lose a game and still be fine. I mean, you've given yourself a little, what does Brady always talk about, the margin for error? You've given yourself a little bit of margin for error here, and You know, now you just have to finish the season and take care of your business.
Well, speaking of
cushion,
speaking of Tom Brady, speaking of errors, let's transition to some of the bad.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't realize we were speaking of that.
That's where you go. If you're talking about the bad from this game, Tom Brady did not look good in my mind. And I think you guys would agree in this game tonight, he did not play well. This was not what we're used to seeing from Tom Brady in recent weeks. He was not the same guy tonight in this game that he had been a couple of weeks ago against Denver, against Chicago, or whoever he's played, you know, the last 5 weeks. He looked different tonight. He had two really bad picks in this game.
And you know what the best part of it is?
What's that?
You went on the road in a tough game. You were actually the underdog.
And you won.
And you won. I mean, this had a little bit of a feel, and I said this during the game on Twitter, had a little bit of a feel of one of those Miami games where he just doesn't look right. He makes some really curious, not Tom Brady-like decisions and throws.
Yeah.
And you know what you did? You won. You know, your radio cohorts will be calling a marquee road victory that this team was lacking. You did that with Tom Brady going on the negative side. The sell, if you read the stock report on Patriots.com, or the bad on this show. And that's phenomenal.
It's
when you
sign.
Can do that. You
yeah,
can win a game without Tom Brady.
It's a good sign for the team, but I think it's a bad sign for Tom Brady.
Ah, he was due. He has these every year, virtually every year. He has these games where they're just head scratchers. He doesn't look quite right. And this was that night. But as I said, you won the game with him doing that. And I mean, you certainly aren't trying to say this is anything to the degree of, oh, the trend that this
no.
is showing some sort of anything that has anything to do with next week or
nope.
the coming weeks. I mean, there's no injury. There's no. I think you just look at it. He made a couple bad decisions, a couple bad throws here or there, and
but the road thing,
you take it.
The road thing concerns me a little bit. So everything that you wanted to get out of this marquee road win, they got it. I thought it was a perfect opportunity to get a good road win. They did it. You take that one step further, though, Andy. You want to see Tom Brady play well on the road in a big spot, and tonight he didn't. He's going to have more opportunities to do it in coming weeks, so he may do it. It's just that he didn't do it tonight. And so that was disappointing. One of the disappointments from this game was Tom Brady. That's one of the guys that put on the list. Another one that guys we talked about during the game, and we'll talk about it right here, right now, is Brandon Browner on the defensive side of things.
Yes.
And this was highlighted on the telecast tonight. If you were watching on NBC, they threw up the graphic a couple of times of how successful Andrew Luck and the Colts were passing against Brandon Browner in this game. It wasn't pretty.
Nope.
Wasn't pretty for him tonight. His coverage skills, that's kind of been a question mark for him the whole season, because even when he has been playing physical and he has been, you know, bumping guys and making plays, the coverage skills have always kind of been, well, if he just has to go down the field and cover a guy and stay with him and make plays, is he able to do it without the extra contact? Tonight he wasn't able to keep up with guys, and he got beat.
Yeah, and I would say one of the more disappointing things is it was Fleener that was doing it to him in the second half.
Who I don't think all that highly of.
I mean, we watched Jamie Collins blanket him like a blanket last year. Well said, Andy Hart. It's nearing midnight here.
He just made me crack.
You know, the penalties that he could have had, I think, on that, especially that T.Y. Hilton one where he jammed him. Great jam at the line. And then Hightower, okay, we're riding the line a little bit now. He hits him, and he bounces off Browner 10 yards downfield. Could have easily been a penalty. Then Fleener owned him. He got toasted by, was it Hilton that got by him? And then Luck just missed it.
Moncrief.
Moncrief got by him. I mean, maybe the worst, his worst coverage of the night. He blew by him, and Luck just missed the throw. You know, I've been dubious all along, and I know people have sort of been mocking me. I'm just not sold that the guy can cover. He's a physical presence at the line. He had a nice tackle on a quick screen.
On Hilton,
but
yep.
I still don't know that the guy can flat out cover. And I'm hearing some people on some radio stations with some hosts of this show also on the show telling me, they can cover. Well, I don't know if he can cover. I know Revis can cover. I don't know if Browner can cover.
Well, and that was the thing tonight was he stuck out because it seemed like the other guys were so much better. Now, the Colts had a lot of open receivers tonight.
Sure.
And for the most part, the Patriots got away with some of it because they ran the ball so well. The Patriots ran the ball so well that they seemed like they were in total control of the game right from the start because of that. and it just never seemed like Indy was able to quite catch up. But Browner really, really struggled, I thought, in coverage. Now, Revis was so good that it didn't really matter. I thought Revis' job on Wayne allowed them to double-team Hilton and kind of take him out of the game, the way Collinsworth talked about late. Overall, it was a pretty strong performance by the defense. I thought it was one of the better performances overall by the defense that we've seen this year, but I don't think Browner was part of that.
And I think you and I will both agree. The defense is better. The defense can
defense
be good.
Is a lot better.
But it's not elite, so they're not going to shut down. I mean, you faced in the last 2 weeks, or the last 3 weeks here, two of the better, more diverse passing attacks you're going to face.
Yep.
At any time, anywhere, regardless of who you play again in the postseason. And you found a way with open receivers and yards and different things to double up those teams, essentially, on the scoreboard.
Yep.
With your offense playing a key role in that. But that's how this game works. It's a complementary game.
I thought
game.
Tonight was more impressive than Denver.
No, but I'm just saying the guys being open, that's going to happen. But right. When you're scoring 40 right. points, you don't have to be perfect.
Joining us now on the line from Indianapolis, from the Patriots locker room, ready to talk about this one, is Ryan Wendell joining us. Hi, Ryan. Congratulations on the win, and thanks for checking in with us.
Yeah, sure thing, guys. Thanks for having me.
How good does this feel for you guys to be able to go on the road and get this win? And has that been something that you guys were focused on, going on the road, having kind of a marquee road win this week?
Shoot, I think we were just trying to win. I mean, this is a good team. The Colts are a really good team. They're going to be there in the playoffs. We might see these guys again. And so I think we were just worried about, doing our jobs and just trying to all come together and get the win. I don't think anybody was expecting to do some of the things we did tonight. I think we were just trying to go out and scratch out whatever we had to do against a really good team.
Talking about the expectations of what you ended up doing tonight, how much did you know that the game plan was going to call for, a big dose of the running game, and you guys were able to churn out almost 250 yards on the ground? How much did you know that was something you guys were going to go after?
Well, you never know how the game's going to unfold. You put your game plan in, but what the defense is doing has a lot to do with that. And so the way we were running the ball, the way Jonas was running tonight, you couldn't turn away from it. We had to keep that going. And, if we knew Jonas was going to run for 200 yards, we wouldn't have had to practice this week. But we practiced a lot of stuff this week, and just the run seemed to be what was working.
Is it a situation, Ryan, when you get it going like that against Indy's front, that you just kind of feed off it as the game goes on? Because it just seemed like from the first quarter, first snap, it never stopped. I mean, usually in the NFL, you have that kind of success on the ground, and eventually the other team makes an adjustment, but you guys never let them adjust. It must have been a good feeling to get the ball rolling like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the momentum builds like that, it feels great. I think Coach McDaniels did a great job of keeping them off balance, trying to push the ball down the field and not letting those guys ever really settle in just to stop the run. We ran the ball for a lot of yards, but we weren't one-dimensional tonight, and I think that paid off for us.
I know you're sort of on the interior and in the trenches, and you don't see everything that goes on, but it seemed like Rob Gronkowski, even for a guy who's always sort of physical and dominant, was even more jacked up tonight. Did you catch some of that? And how do you guys feed off of when guys have that type of emotion on the field?
As an offensive lineman, it's our job to hit people every play, and, we enjoy that kind of contact. When we see one of those skill position players, whether it be one of our running backs or one of our wide receivers or Gronkowski, a tight end, going out there and just being physical, just doing the kinds of things that we do on a normal basis. We love seeing that. It gets us fired up. Feels like he's like a sixth offensive lineman out there sometimes.
he has a lot of fun out there sometimes. Do you guys ever just sort of catch yourself, chuckling at some antics? Or he was really wound up tonight after that touchdown catch at the end of the game. Do you guys ever just like kind of look
laughing at him? I mean, it's hard not to when he gets all fired up and he's spiking the ball and he's talking mess to the other team. You can't help but laugh.
Do you guys even know what he's talking about at that time? Because it seemed like Coach Belichick had no idea what he was talking about.
He speaks some weird language only him and his brothers can understand.
He speaks Gronk. I think that's the official language.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan, I wanted to ask you because, some people have talked about you played a lot of center for this team the last couple of years. You've been playing guard now, and some have wondered, and I was one of them. I'm going to be honest with you. Is Ryan Wendell big enough to be a guard, to be a road grading guard. Well, we saw you tonight on that first touchdown lead the way and move the pile for Jonas Gray. How much have you settled into that right guard position?
I feel like there's definitely things to improve on. You know, every week, I see plays that I need to get better at. And, as long as Bill's happy with my play and as long as, Gooch is happy with my play, hopefully they give me a chance to keep working on those things that I need to improve on.
And Jonas Gray was happy with your play because he just ran up your back and followed you into the end zone.
Yeah, well, shoot, Jonas, it's awesome when you feel that back just get right up behind you and push you in. It's like you get another boost.
Got to get him that one more yard next time. You guys disappointed everybody.
Yeah.
199
200,
yards.
It was right there for the taking.
Oh, I thought we got it for him. I thought we had it.
No, 199.
We're going to have to review the tape on that. I feel like there's another yard in there somewhere.
Yeah, you know what? There probably was. 244 overall on the ground, though, and almost 5.5 a carry on 45 attempts. That's numbers you don't normally see in the NFL, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to round up. I'm saying he got 200.
All right, Ryan. Well, thanks for the time, and congratulations on the win.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Wendell. Ryan Wendell joining us here on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One. They were good tonight. They were good, Paul. Got to hand it to that offensive line.
The offensive line was excellent. Like I said, you see, there are occasions where you open up a game and you have some success doing something. Eventually, the other team says, you know what? I'm not going to just let you do this all night. I have to make an adjustment to it. First play of the second half, it looked like Indy did something. They came out. That was one of the very few unsuccessful running plays. Then it just went right back. I mean, yep. It was 8, 10, 12 yards a pop, and Gray talked about it in the Chicago game when he had the big holes. There were times where he was just going untouched for 8, 10, 12 yards before, and then he was moving the pile after that. So that was just a dominant overall rushing performance by the Patriots. You don't see that kind of stuff. That's a college-type game that you saw today. You don't see that in the NFL a lot.
It's almost like the Colts literally didn't know what hit them. You know, you think about this passing attack and Gronk and all, how they're going to stop Gronk and this and the matchups. And they just ran Jonas Gray down your throat, and there was nothing you could do about it.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. He was good tonight, I got to say.
Jonas Gray ran really well tonight.
It
wasn't just about the holes. He ran hard.
I haven't bought into the Jonas Gray hype, but tonight he impressed me.
Well, you know.
He did. He took advantage of what the team was giving him, and he didn't make any mistakes.
Maybe one night only, but when a guy runs for 200 yards, as Ryan Wendell says, we'll round up. You got to give him his due. Four touchdowns. Probably could have had five, you know, if they wanted to.
They had a first and goal from the one or two. They ran the ball. I mean, they threw the ball. I mean, I'm sure if they had handed it off, he would have gotten in again. He could have had five touchdowns.
Now, and I don't know, you know, I've been one that said the running game is something this team can work on both sides, stopping the run and running the football. They were good at both of those tonight, right?
You know what Indy's running backs had in this game tonight?
Not a lot.
14 carries for 4 yards.
That's impressive.
7 carries for each, Richardson and Bradshaw. Bradshaw had all 4 yards. 7 for 0 for Richardson.
Now, I'm not willing to say, okay, I have no doubts. The running game's fine. The run defense is fine. I will say Alan Branch showed up a little bit tonight a couple different times, and he's somebody new moving forward. You know, Silver Salang is coming back. Alan Branch, if you're looking at the run defense, we saw a lot more of Jonathan Casillas tonight at linebacker. Got some pretty good play time there. So run defense, there's things that can lead you to believe that they are maybe going to be good enough if you need to stop somebody. And then the running offense, you just can't say enough about the blocking and the running from Jonas Gray. And as I said, Fred Kirsch must be, check his heart. I don't know that he can take the excitement.
And the, Beetle, you brought up before Ryan Wendell joined us, we were talking about all the good stuff. And you talked about the linebackers and Hightower and Collins. And it's just amazing to me that they can have turned around so they're suddenly so stout against the run, playing with less personnel than they had been and employed in different ways. You know, Andy brought up Casillas tonight. Last game it was Akeem Ayers playing a lot bigger of a role. And Hightower and Collins were just all over the place, I thought, in that game. Hightower, with his pressure, his A-gap pressure on passing situations, I thought was a going concern. And Collins, even after short catches by Bradshaw tonight, just ripping them down short of the first downs. And, you know, listen, 14 carries for 4 yards. That's, I mean, you know, Collinsworth kept making a big deal of it. The difference in the game was the Colts absolutely couldn't stop the run and couldn't run it a lick. And really, when it comes down to it, that was the difference.
Some of the injuries from tonight's game, trying to think, late, we had Cameron Fleming go down late in the game.
Yeah, rolled up on.
Like he got rolled up on a
one of the injuries. Julian Edelman, early in the game.
Yep.
And he came back, so I don't know
how much. But he was dealing with some stuff.
He was on the sideline,
yeah, limping,
working things out on the sideline.
The initial looked like maybe a hip, came down hard on the hip, maybe even on the sticks when he landed out of bounds. But yeah, he kind of had some issues throughout the game. It looked like he might be a little sore this week.
So a couple of things there. You get Edelman, Fleming. I don't think we're missing any more. If I trying to think back.
Nope. I think that is pretty much it.
If you're the Colts, Ahmad Bradshaw, he suffered some sort of injury. He left the game.
Yep.
He was out. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. We're going to get your calls right now. Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Do more. Bill Belichick likes his Surface. He uses that thing all the time. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Joe, who's in South Carolina. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. Great win tonight. My good list was Wright, Eddie Hart's famous football math, and Gronk housing Sergio Brown. That was amazing.
Yeah, Sergio Brown is not a fan of Gronk, and Gronk not a fan of Sergio Brown, it seems like, after tonight.
That's fine. I hope I never see him again. on the bad list is me. I told all my friends that first drive was a gimmicky run, and I guess we're going to do that all night, so I'm on the bad list. Arrington for a second, but it looks like he made up for it on that third quarter special team play, and Nico with a face mask. Been a great show so far, guys. Keep doing it.
Thanks, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bads tonight. I think people are sort of, you know, John Rook does his nitpick Tuesday. I think they're literally nitpicks this week. It's hard to find.
Even for him, I think he'll have a hard time. But we were talking, Andy likes to do three up and three down on his stock watch every week. And we've collaborated, the three of us, trying to come up with three downs.
I don't really have a third.
We really don't have one.
It's tough. The one that I suggested was not a player, but possibly Josh McDaniels in the first half. Third and short plays, trying to throw the ball, probably should have run more. On a night that they had 244 yards on the ground.
I agree with that. I just put it on Brady because I think Brady specifically checked out of one, and I wouldn't be surprised if he checked out of another one.
Going to have to review that. Going to have to take a look at that tape, see if we notice anything on some of those plays.
Known we can't put it on. Brady, that was my fault.
I looked at the tape ball.
It's my fault.
I know that one.
Just got
them.
A funny text.
What is it?
You probably get it too, Paul.
Oh, I did.
Man the phones in there because we have a very special guest trying to call in. He says the lines are busy.
They are busy.
This is a very important guest who wants to call in. Can we give him a studio line? Is there a way for him to get in? Somebody wants to
wants to weigh in. Can you get that?
Somebody who weighs a lot wants to weigh in. Somebody wants to gloat about Jonas Gray's performance.
He's got the earth. Oh. He's got the earth on his shoulders.
Is it?
Rhymes with dread fursh.
Dread fursh. We'll see if we can get Dread on the line.
Judge Dread.
Let's get to some of these emails coming in here. And you know what? Some of them are a little bit negative.
No, you got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
What is wrong with these people?
Sergio from Chicago writes in, "We played a sloppy game. I'm only satisfied with Jonas Gray's performance and the fact that we won. But we can't win a playoff game like that, and we can't win Super Bowls like that. Tom looked really bad, but hey, I'm just glad we got the win. But we need to step it up." That's from Sergio in Chicago.
I'm really surprised by that. Do people understand that this was a playoff kind of game? You played a playoff team on the road, number one. Number two, I agree, they were a little sloppy tonight, and you won the game by 22 points.
Scott writes in, as we're talking about being 8-2, being number one seed in the AFC, and being in control, please remember, we have the Bills and Miami again. Wanted to add that.
What does that mean?
He obviously views those as tough games that we shouldn't be overlooking.
Yeah, I don't. I don't look at those as tough games.
Tony, well, I'm not saying overlook anything.
No, you don't overlook anybody.
But Tony in Toronto says, not to take away from Gray's excellent performance.
A lot of butts in this crowd. A lot of buttheads that didn't enjoy this game.
I'm just reading these in order as they came in.
Yeah, but what's the timestamp? Is it like the first drive of the game or something?
No, they're at 11:50.
Oh.
As after the game.
That's ridiculous to me.
Not to take away from Gray's excellent performance, but I believe Blount did this to Indy in the playoffs last year, didn't he?
Yes,
seems,
he did.
Seems
you're not happy with that?
Seems like the Patriots just run well on the Colts.
Who cares?
Tony in Toronto.
If you run
that's
well
a very
on a
negative take.
But yeah,
I don't get it.
I might swear. These people are going to get me to swear at
all
some
right,
point.
Before you do that, let's go back out to the phone lines and let's go to Fred in Indianapolis. Fred's up next on the program.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Did you already buy your Jonas Gray jersey?
Oh, I bought that a long time ago. You know that.
Well, now you can at least wear it and people will say, "Oh, that's the guy who rushed for 200 against the Colts."
That's right. That's right.
Freddie, were you disappointed? He should have had 5 touchdowns tonight, that cheap play action on the 1 yard line.
Hey, you know what? I don't care. Look, I know he had a good game, but don't you have to take your hat off to the offensive line?
Yes, and that
We had Ryan Wendell on the show.
The only down part for Ryan Wendell is he thought they did get the 200 for Jonas. He didn't know they came up a yard short, but, and not just the offensive line, by the way. My guy Devlin and Rob Gronkowski were dominant as blockers as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was just a, you know, men against boys game type of game. And I think that, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, I thought the Colts had a good run defense, but they're not tested the way they were tonight. You know, most teams fall behind and they don't get to really run the ball.
Well, they don't have a good run defense, though. Who said that?
A lot of people were saying, aren't the Colts better against the run than they, you know, they're showing tonight? But I think a lot of times they don't have to be.
Well,
good
they may not have been as bad against the run as they showed tonight.
That I agree with. I agree with the people. I don't think they were as bad as that. That was just absolutely, like you said, Freddie, men against boys dominant.
I actually just got the vibe, and I said this to these guys a few minutes ago, that it was almost like they had seen what the Patriots had done through the air for the last 5 weeks and Gronk and all this and prepared for that all week and were like, oh, wait, you're going to run the ball? We didn't practice for stopping the run at all.
It was like the Denver game last year, the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
You know, the Colts just said, well, if they want to run it, we're going to go light here and we're going to let them run it.
Oh,
and
job.
Then, you know, but the difference was they didn't score the way the Patriots scored against Denver, so they couldn't win.
Yeah.
Freddie, we need you to yell at some people, though. We're getting a lot of emails early on that are like, yeah, but it was sloppy, or yeah, but they only do this against the Colts. Fans aren't in love with this win for some reason.
Yeah. No, well, I don't know who it is, but I think they're few and far between. I think most people think that this was a statement game by the Patriots on the road against the first-place team. What else do you want?
I agree, Fred. You're dead on. Everybody's been saying, oh, this team doesn't have a marquee road win. They got a marquee road win now.
Fred, I was accused in the pregame tonight of being mini Fred Kirsch tonight.
Oh, good for you, Mark.
And I said that means I'm on my way to big, glorious things in my future. My future is bright.
Welcome to the club. And listen, I have to go. I see Jonas Gray coming. I have to go.
All right. Yeah. All right,
rub him down. He's probably sore.
You're an embarrassment.
Fred Kirsch joining us from Indianapolis.
Andy and I really work hard to try to establish relationships with the players, and, you know, so they don't think we're like, you know, Chris Farley and Saturday Night Live.
That was awesome.
You know, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
You were in the Beatles,
and then
right?
Fred
tears that down.
Tears it right down.
Fred literally had to get off the phone because Jonas Gray walked by. Right. You should see him.
You're going to give him a high five.
You should see him in the locker room during the week. He comes in. First of all, he very rarely comes in the locker room, Fred.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, until the Jonas Gray era.
And now he comes in almost all the time, and he comes up to us and goes,
where's Gray's locker?
Is Gray here yet? You seen Jonas Gray today? Like, he literally wants to know. And he asks Andy and I, like, separately.
Like we're going to lie to him.
You know, in case one of us is going to say, no, Fred, I haven't seen him.
So he really likes Jonas Gray.
Yeah. Loves him.
Is it because
Jonas Gray?
Because he watched him in Notre Dame or something?
Oh, no, no.
Where's it coming from?
He's never heard of him until he got here. There's no doubt. This
it's
is not a
pure
yeah, no.
Patriots love.
Well, I mean, he likes thick running backs.
He didn't really start at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he likes thick running backs. I think he likes a beefy running back.
He's
got a beefy running
back.
He's
good. He's got good size. Silvio in Seattle writes in, looking to take Andy to task.
Okay,
hey, Andy, remember when you vilified me on PFW in Progress a while back because I said Gray was a horse? Workhorse. He had a monster day, probably the best game of every back in the league today. He reminds me a lot of a certain number 28 that played for us about 10 years ago. Now he's Corey Dillon.
Right.
Everything this guy does is for positive yardage. I'm liking what I'm seeing. That's from Silvio.
Well, I can guarantee he's not Corey Dillon because he's a really nice, polite, decent guy to talk to, and that's everything Corey Dillon wasn't.
Yeah, but we did get a lot of calls periodically over the last few weeks, very positive on Jonas Gray, and Andy and I have been a little critical, and those people take your victory lap. You know, 199 yards, just tremendous production tonight. And, you know, you take your bows, as Mita Perel would say.
As they should. And I'm not disputing it.
But that's what I'm saying.
Just be ready for me to fire back when he has, like, 8 carries for 3 yards in some game.
Webradio@patriots.com. Evan writes in, hey, guys, Evan from Texas here. What a win. A scary game at the start, but 50 yards of Gray saved the day. Did you start that?
No, Andy? I went with 100 yards of Gray because he passed 100 yards in, like, the second quarter.
First half, yeah.
Yeah.
He had 100 in the first
half. Should we do 199 shades of Gray for the cover? Or
maybe. He writes, I was just wondering who that quarterback was who started in the first half of the game for the Patriots. It sure didn't seem like Tom, but the second half, Brady looked like himself. Anyway, thanks for the entertainment. Great analysis you guys provide every week. Go Pats. That's from Evan. Thanks for the email, Evan. Also, Scott writes in, please keep Andy focused on tonight's game rather than everything else.
What did I say?
I don't know. I'm just saying, Scott says,
screw you, Scott.
Stay focused.
I am focused.
Stay
focused. Unlike some of our emailers, I'm focused on what was an impressive road victory against a team that had everything in its own path. You know what I mean? This is a team that could have said, you know what? We're in the conversation now. It's not Patriots-Broncos. It's Patriots-Colts-Broncos. Talk about us. And they couldn't do it. They weren't ready.
You know, Andrew Luck had a home game with a chance to really prove something tonight. And
he didn't do it. And I will point to two things. Two things that can't happen. The interception where he threw to Reggie Wayne with Revis there. He got flat-footed, double-pumped, and then just threw it anyway. You can't do that most of the time. You sure as hell can't do that with Darrell Revis around the football. And the other one is the one where Browner got beat by Moncrief. You can't miss that throw.
Yeah.
That's the type of game-changing throw that you cannot miss if you're going to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots and say, we're somebody.
And I would add a deep throw to Knicks that he threw over the outside shoulder instead of the inside shoulder, which I thought was a chance. But yeah, I know you're just trying to get under my skin, Beetle, but I thought he got victimized by a lot of shoddy play around him tonight. I thought Bradshaw dropped a 25-yard pass that was right
in
his hands.
I'm not trying to get under your skin, Paul. Just stating the facts.
I thought he was pretty good. I think the play that Andy was talking about was a big interception that he threw, but I thought overall he was pretty good tonight. And the Colts receivers didn't match him.
Chris in Cincinnati writes, great game. So is Fred's head as big as Andy's now?
Yes.
Gray was exactly what the Pats needed.
Although the good news is Fred's head now finally matches his big fat shoulders.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Melvin's back with us. Melvin in Tennessee, what's going on?
What's up, y'all? Big win.
Big win. Very impressive.
Lovely. Didn't I say in the pregame show I was not that threatened, so to speak? Sniff on that. I don't think the Colts are ready to, you know, get to the next level yet. So neither side, I don't want to play them anymore. Any of these things, really. But man, I can't be, you know, more happy for, like, really the defense. I think we talked about, like, a long time ago. Well, I mean, how the defense will look against, you know, the teams that can actually score. And we're playing so well right now. That's a lot of chances, you know, they have for open field tackles that I think going, you know, not said, but I think the difference was back then we would miss those tackles. Now, I mean, there was plenty of times that could be, you know, other than the, you know, I think Logan Ryan with that little fourth down missed tackle, so to speak. He had them, but he kind of got a hold of them. We made tackles. Front seven played well. I thought LaFell made some key catches. I'm seeing a lot of more weapons. I mean, Amendola at least starting to get involved. I love where this team is going. I haven't been this confident really in this team since for years, really, because it's not only playing well offensively, but I think the defense is playing better. So, I mean, that's the only thing I got to say. I mean, I got high hopes for this team now.
And
I think you
should. You know, I think there is a complement to this team that has been lacking for quite a while. And I'm not all in on the defense like some people are, but I'm all in that the defense isn't an albatross, isn't a detriment to the team, that it can at least be competitive. And there are certain nights where if the defense is competitive for a quarter, first quarter, That's enough for Brady and Gronkowski and company to sort of build a little something and change the game.
I think they've gotten to the point now where you no longer worry about, is this defense good enough for to win a championship? Because with the offense, I think it is now.
With the offense.
And I think that they played really well tonight. That said, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, there were plenty of receivers that were open. You're not going to shut down these good passing teams. You're not just going to completely shut them down.
Right.
And they didn't completely shut them down tonight, but I thought that they were pretty good. They were pretty good tonight defensively, and Revis in particular was outstanding.
All right. There's one last thing I'm going to say, but how many years, like you said, have we said that we just want this defense? You don't have to be top five, whatever. It's just play decent. Get off the field on third downs, get your turnovers, and then play decent. Because if this offense gets to rolling and I have a decent defense, we can win the Super Bowl. We can win it now. I mean, just play decent. That's the only thing I'm asking for. You know, we won a different way. Tom Brady didn't play all that great. He's been stepped it up, kept us in the game. That's all I've been asking for years. So if Revis is the key, it is what it is. I'll let you all continue the show, man. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks for the call, Melvin. Appreciate it. I think the point about getting off the field on third down, we've been talking about that since the offseason. Colts 5 of 13 tonight on third down. Patriots did a pretty decent job of getting off the field. It seemed like early on they were doing a good job of that out of the gates.
The Patriots did a good job offensively on third down. We talked about that.
Oh, they were outstanding.
The third down, the Colts were number one in the NFL coming in, and that was sort of seemingly weird. Well, they won't be number one anymore after this performance because the Patriots, 9 of 12, 75%. That's really going to hinder the Colts' season numbers.
Yeah, and, we made a lot of comments during the course of the week. Couldn't understand the numbers for the Colts defense. You know what they had from a personnel standpoint, and the numbers just didn't seem to line up with what they have and what they were doing, and you saw that tonight. Like, they're not a very good defense, and if they're not getting pressure on the passer and the way they ran the ball tonight, early on, they were, the first interception, Brady took a big hit on that. They had some pressure on him, but when you're running the ball like that, you can't blitz. You can't sell out. You can't get after Brady. You can't because you got to stop the run, and they couldn't. 245 yards.
Liam's in North Carolina. He's up next. Hey, Liam.
Hey, guys. First off, big shout-out to the PFW Elite. Jonas Gray, you guys, talk about him so far. If he continues like this, and even after this game, kind of seems like he sealed Ridley's fate. I mean, this was just an excellent game for him. You guys say he could have had another touchdown. I'd say another two. There was twice at least he was stopped on the 1 yard line or closer, where those should have been touchdowns. And, do you guys think that Belichick or Patricia, they had Brady take a knee at the end of the half just to kind of send him a message? Because that first half was ugly. I think that's what most people are talking about. And they just kind of took a half to knock the rust off. The second half was a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, that was posed. Ted Johnson actually posed that. What's the message? That you stink and you're not worthy
protect
of?
Protect the football and, the last time
I can't trust you?
Yeah, you got to start protecting the football. And that's what his message to Michelle Tafoya was coming out of the locker room. I didn't really look at it that way. Listen, I thought the game was never really in question tonight. Brady made two really uncharacteristically bad decisions and two bad throws. They were bad decisions and bad throws. And that allowed, the Colts to briefly get back in the game. But the Patriots offense never got stopped in this game. They punted once all game. They had two turnovers. The Colts never stopped the Patriots, and if they had to play again, they would continue to not be able to get stopped. I never felt like this game was in question.
John wrote in about the kneel down. He said he's been watched every Pats game for 15 years. He hung up. I thought he'd already hung up. I'm sorry about that. He's watched every Pats game for 15 years. He can't ever recall seeing the Pats kneel down with 51 seconds and three timeouts and only being up by 4 points. Can't remember seeing anything like that. Shocked by the fact that they did that.
I was a little surprised. I'm sure the Amendola kick return played a role in that. you know, had it been a touchback or something out over the 20, I was surprised they didn't try one of their trusty little draws or screens. Something
and then
safe.
Put it away. If you
and
get nothing there.
Yeah, if you get nothing,
then we see that a lot. We've seen that a lot over the years.
But take a shot for a play. I can't recall just a flat kneel down with that much time and timeouts at your disposal.
David writes in, Jonas Gray was outstanding tonight, but how about the couple of key fantastic catches for Brandon LaFell on the evening? LaFell finishing three catches tonight, 62 yards. He did have some nice catches in the game. He had three. There was one in particular.
Two terrific back shoulder ones that were really tough.
He looked good in the limited action that he got. He only, you know, it's come down a little bit from recent weeks.
Yeah, it was a different kind of game.
And so less action for Brandon LaFell, but in the times he did catch the football, he had the three catches. He was targeted four times in the game. He looked good. He was a guy that helped. And there was one play, Paul, in particular that we were talking about during the game that you had expressed how great the timing was, how great everything was between the quarterback and the receiver, between Brady and LaFell.
Yeah, I don't think it can be defended. And Collinsworth made the comment. Vontae Davis was right on him. He turned. But the throw brought LaFell away from the coverage a little bit, and the timing was perfect. And that's probably a play in the first month of the season that would not have connected.
855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. Jump on board if you can. We got full phone lines right now, but as soon as someone drops off, you jump on, and you can always send your emails to webradio@patriots.com.
The full phone lines at 1222.
It is pretty impressive.
We're going to get to more of those calls coming up after this quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. It's the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart going late into the night talking about this win for the Patriots. They put themselves in a great position going forward at 8-2 with that number one spot in the AFC. Gear up for the season and shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or you can shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. I'm willing to bet that if you're looking for a Christmas present for Fred Kirsch, you could go to the Patriots Pro Shop right here at Patriot Place, and you could buy him a Jonas Gray jersey.
That's what I would get. Willing to bet that I'm going to put out a challenge right now to our listeners.
What's that?
I would like to see someone who has some photoshopping ability put together some 50 Shades of Grey type material with Fred Kirsch and Jonas Gray involved.
Okay, I like that.
Some sort of what is that even called? What's that whole story based upon?
I think it involves a lot of sex.
Yeah, but isn't it like? They tie each other up and that kind of stuff.
Bondage
or whatever. I want to see some bondage posters involving Jonas Gray and Fred Kirsch. Have some fun with it. Tune in on Tuesday, PFW in progress.
Fred's getting tied down to a bed by Jonas Gray. Is that what's happening?
Give me some of those memes or memes or whatever they call them these days on the internet. I want to see those.
All right, let's move on from the Shades of Gray and go back to the phones and get some of your thoughts on this game. Let's go to Corey in Wisconsin. Hi, Corey. Corey!
Hey, you know, watching this game, I really felt like I'd taken a trip back in time to last year in the postseason when LeGarrette Blount made the Colts defense look really, really bad.
Yes, two games in a row. They've run the ball well against this team.
I just thought it was a great win, and I kind of like being in sole possession of the AFC, so, you know, keep it up, win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's something that you would kind of like. It's a good thing to kind of like, being number one in the AFC at 8-2. Good road win tonight. Patriots now get a chance to come back home. Paul's in Florida. Hi, Paul.
No, Paul's right here.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Paul? Aww. That's a good clear line you got there.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It's through Comcast, and I'll give the commercial later.
Tremendous. We're friends of Comcast.
Hey, one thing I want to say is be careful in the 50 Shades of Grey, simply because of the Twitter thing that just occurred to the Patriots online.
Don't get me going on that thing.
Yeah, no. I know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go on that either. Yeah, but anyway, I would like...
We don't need to.
First of all, I'm extremely pleased on this, and it's on a personal level because my family is torn. My family is mostly from Indiana and Colts fans, to the tune that they actually traveled from Florida to Indianapolis for this game and actually offered to buy my ticket if I paid my way in my room and board. And I said to myself, no, because the people in Indianapolis would hate me, and so would my family.
But you would have seen a good game.
I saw a great game on television, but I wasn't... In reality, I've seen the Patriots play in Indianapolis over 10 times.
Yep.
I think they've won 9 out of 10 games. Mm-hmm. For me to travel that far just to see them beat the Colts again, and the whole occasion was for my brother-in-law's birthday.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in.
You also could have gone to
sure.
St. Elmo's, gotten a little shrimp, a little steak.
I would have gone just to go to St. Elmo's.
Yeah, I would have hated to. I'm sure a lot of Patriots fans would have hated to be offered a free plane ticket to Indianapolis for the game.
We had another opposing writer that failed.
Yeah, that's been a consistent theme.
He wasn't quite as over the top as Mike Kliss.
No.
Didn't offend people with his prediction, but
he didn't say the Colts are going to win in a blowout. He said, "I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Colts are at home, so I'm going to give them the edge, and I think they'll win."
And a matter of fact, he immediately said, "No, if this game were in New England, there wouldn't be no question about it. It'd be the Patriots." So that's another opposing writer who picked his team and lost.
He didn't say anything that was worthy of being chastised on Twitter or being. Chased after like Mike Kliss on Twitter. Jake's in Pittsburgh. Oh, I was going to say tonight, but I will say this morning. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
Tremendous.
Hey, two things for you. First off, not sure. Am I the only one who watches the post-game show to just make sure if Darrell Revis is happy or not? Because I don't know. I know you guys put the... I mean, I think Paul said on PFW he may not be coming back next year, but I always just want to make sure he's happy just in case.
Well, but I only say that because of his contractual situation, not because I have any... I think Darrell Revis has been seamless in his fitting in the locker room. There have been no signs of any discontent, I don't think, really, with Revis. Andy, I don't know if you feel any differently. I think that he has maybe talked a little bit about the style of defense that they've played, and some of the, those men and the zones and stuff like that, and maybe wanting to be a little bit more aggressive without really saying that. But the only reason why I talk about him possibly not coming back is he has that funky contract that the Patriots would have to give him a $25 million bonus to keep him under contract. Otherwise, he'll be a free agent. And, antime a guy's a free agent.
20, right?
And 20,
it's a $25 million
cap
number.
Hit.
Yes, I believe.
Okay. So anytime a guy's a free agent, I think there's a better than average chance that he'll leave. So I don't mean to say that I don't think Revis is happy here. I think seems like he's very happy here.
Okay, yeah, because I mean sometimes it just seems like he just could be a low key guy, like you guys have said before.
Yeah, he is.
But number two, and I know you guys have kind of put the kibosh on this, but Chandler Jones. I was watching this game and I was thinking to myself, man, when they get Chandler Jones back, they're going to be so much better on defense, and they're doing great now, but I know you guys have said no to this, but when he comes back, are you concerned at all about the run defense? Because, I don't know, is he a liability at all? I'm kind of concerned just because they were so bad with him in there. And I know against Chicago, Forte ran all over them, but still, last couple games they've been great. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I'm starting to become less and less worried about the run defense as these weeks go by. That's 2 weeks in a row
with their sub personnel for the most part. They were able to completely shut down a running game. I don't feel Chandler Jones will do anything to hurt that. In a game like tonight, the one thing defensively that I don't think they did much of was pressure the passer. So if you can have Chandler Jones in there and he can, theoretically have fresh legs later in the year if he's healthy and he can get back, I think that could be a huge advantage in the defense, a huge plus for the defense. Do you look at that as a potential stumbling block for the run defense, you guys? Either one of you? Hello?
I don't know that I want to base it on these two games, though.
No, but Chandler Jones specifically, is that hurting your run game? Or
I didn't think that was going to be a huge impact on the run game. I mean, when he went down, we were talking pretty much strictly about their pass rush and how it impacts them.
And I certainly wouldn't worry about the run defense if he came back.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. But as you're saying, like the last couple of weeks, as more weeks go by, you're less concerned with it. Yeah, I just don't know that I want to use the Denver game and this game as the measuring stick, so
to speak. Well, I think these are the kinds of games that they really got exposed in because they would go light fronts, sub packages, and they wouldn't be able to stop the run. And less so tonight than the Denver game, just because of what happened last year.
Well, you know what,
Denver.
Paul, let's play this out. Let's play this out for a second. If they're going into the AFC playoffs, one seed, two seed, whatever, of all the teams in the AFC, who's potentially the biggest threat that they would face in terms of a running back?
Kansas City.
And Jamaal Charles.
Yep. And they've already tasted it once.
I'd be a little concerned about that.
And even based on what you've seen the last couple of weeks, you'd still be concerned about it.
I'd be a little concerned about it.
Oh, you have to.
So,
it wouldn't be because of Chandler Jones, though.
Yeah, we're not in the days of guys, having big featured backs that can, carry a team and they run it down your throat, run the ball, stop the run, all that stuff.
Not in the AFC, anyway.
No, I mean, and you look at the field and you say, well, who could be the best running back they may face? It'd be Charles, and that's a guy who would give you problems. But pretty much the rest of the field?
And then the Super Bowl.
I'd feel good about them stopping whoever it is in the rest of the field in the AFC.
But, I mean, if you get to a Super Bowl, it's still part of the season, The long-term goal is to win the Super Bowl.
I know. I'm just breaking it out.
I know you've closed the window, and that's not even really a possibility.
Okay, who would be the best back they'd potentially face in the Super Bowl?
Well, the year would be Murray, right?
If you think the Cowboys can get to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
it's funny because I wouldn't worry about him at all.
I wouldn't have any concern about DeMarco Murray because he's not going to be there.
Well, I guess we're just going to laugh everybody off.
I can't buy into a team that has Tony Romo as their quarterback in terms of winning playoff games. No way.
Yeah, I would be more worried about Seattle or even San Francisco.
Marshawn Lynch would scare
the crap out
of me. If
San Francisco could get right, and they're still not right. I mean, 5 picks for Eli Manning, and they're holding on to win a game today against the Giants. But those two teams, I think, they want to run the football. They have that mindset, that physical mindset, and I would be a little concerned, but I'd be more concerned about Jamaal Charles than either one of those two guys, Lynch or Gore.
I would say that's probably fair. And as you said, they've tasted it once already. They've already been down that road.
Hopefully they've learned for that, though, and they're not going to have Chandler Jones as a 3-4 defensive end getting bitch slapped by Eric Fisher and then just Charles running by.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope they do have Chandler Jones on the field if they do get to that point in a playoff game against Kansas City. I hope he's back.
I got to assume they're going to. Otherwise, I think he'd be on IR. I don't know how healthy he'll be, but
I'm not sure that it doesn't mean his season's over. And I think what happens in this situation is that they're probably already getting a better understanding of where he's at. Like if you are the head coach of the team, if you're Bill Belichick right now and he just went down how many weeks ago now?
Four.
4 weeks ago. It's been a month. You knew going into it that, hey, well, at the very least, let's carry him on the roster for X amount of time that's going to be necessary for us to determine what the deal is going to be for him. Like, isn't he worth it to keep him on there? If the doctors are telling you, listen, it could be 8 weeks, it could be 10 or 12 weeks. We need to kind of play it by ear, and we'll probably have a much better understanding 3 or 4 weeks from now. Don't you automatically say, well, we're going to keep that roster spot for at least the next month until we get a better view?
Sure. But I'm just going with all the reports have indicated that postseason is a real possibility. Whether it was the initial report, which was 4 to 6 weeks, or the follow-up report, which said it could be up to 9 weeks.
Yeah, I know it's a real possibility. If it wasn't, they wouldn't do this.
If we agree.
But what
if
I'm saying
they knew
is
it was
that,
no possibility, they would
right,
put him
they
on
would
IR.
Do it. But what I'm saying is it doesn't mean he's going to be back for the playoffs.
Right. I don't
it's
think
it's still
they
a possibility that he doesn't come
yeah,
back.
I think that way, too. And I also think that since Chandler Jones got hurt, they haven't really suffered any other injury that would necessitate we
right.
got to do some stuff here with the roster.
Oh, they have a boatload of healthy scratches.
Right. So, you know, if they were to lose somebody else that they felt like they needed to replace, then, you know, maybe you could make some moves or whatever. Right now, they have the luxury of being able to carry him. But I agree with both of you. I think if they had decided that he was not going to be able to, you know, they were doubtful that he'd be able to come back for the playoffs, they'd probably make the move. If they were sure that he was going to be, I also don't think they're sure that he's going to be able to make it back. I think that there's probably still some time. And we don't know how serious it is yet, you know, in terms of those two reports that we saw, 4 to 6 weeks, and then sort of, you know, more like the rest of the regular season, the second report, which I think is probably more accurate based on the fact that it came later when there was probably more information available.
Jackson's
Andy hasn't practiced yet, so the 4 to 6 is looking shy.
Right.
You know, whatever it
yeah,
is, very, 6 or 7.
Very
but
conservative.
He's got to get on the practice field before he can get on the game field.
Right.
Very very eager estimate
optimistic.
There. Optimistic. Let's go to Jackson in Washington. Hi, Jackson.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's going on?
How are you, bud?
I'm good. Great win, by the way. I was really proud of how our team played.
You should be. There, you know, as we joked about earlier, we do our ups and our downs, and we try to find three things that were not good in the game, and we could only really find two.
Yeah, well, anyways, I just wanted to say one little thing on Tom Brady. I heard you guys put him in the bad category. Well, I mean, I feel like he, even though he threw two interceptions, even though he was able to get that out of his mind and throw two touchdowns, which I find is really impressive for a quarterback to have two interceptions and then come back and throw two touchdowns. Really cool, in my opinion. So, good job to Tom Brady. So, anyways, just want to get your thoughts on that.
All right, Jackson, thanks for the call. He did clean things up in the second half compared to the first, right? A little bit.
I didn't think he was very good.
A little bit. I didn't think so either. I would put him on the bad list. I'm not taking him off of that.
I thought he had some even throws in the second half that were a little bit un-Brady-like. Now, listen, he's played at a phenomenal level, and I thought he got himself in trouble tonight with his mind. A little bit more so than anything else. I thought the decision to throw deep to Timms under pressure was not a good one. And certainly, I think anybody would say that the second interception was ridiculous. But I thought he had another ball on a third and short that he threw down the sideline to Tim Wright that should have been intercepted. Two Colts seemed like they fought each other. That ball should have been picked off too. And I thought in the second half he had some throws that were completed that weren't great throws. I think the first throw of the second half was back shoulder off of Edelman that bounced in the air and fortunately fell to the ground. I just didn't think it was – listen, everybody has him, and this wasn't one of his better nights.
Mike in Wilmington writes in, well, I guess even when Brady isn't at the top of his game, the rest of the offense and, dare I say, the defense, Paulie P. from PBD, are there to pick him up. I've been reluctant to crown this team, but the Pats are really looking like a scary good team.
Absolutely.
Now, for the real reason I emailed. Holy crap, Gronk is like Bo Jackson on Super Tecmo Bowl. He's literally unstoppable when he wants to be. Andy probably couldn't stand up for a good 10 spot after that TD. Mike in Wilmington.
Fred better see the doctor if it doesn't go away in four hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. You gotta see somebody after that. Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia writes in, sloppy game, but good teams find a way to win. Another great game for my main man, Rob Ninkovich, minus a couple of BS penalties. I don't know about that face mask. I think that one was pretty legit. Loving the return of the bend, but don't break defense, even if my cardiologist isn't. And to quote Gronk, the offensive line played a great job. By the way, could we get a week where we send Andy out to the stadium and have Eric on the pre- and post-game show? We need the Scalinator. I don't know about that.
Said no one ever.
said Murray. Said the one guy. Danny writes in. Daniel writes in. Guys, great show. Finally got my dad to download the Pats app so he could listen to your postgame show. Did you notice at least three snaps to Brady tonight that went to one side or the other or were low? Thanks,
yes.
Daniel.
That was the very last random thought that I wrote about is Stork's shotgun snaps are a little erratic.
It was the one thing I was thinking of for the sell, but I thought the O-line was so good. I felt like I was kind of being a douche.
I wrote it just like that. Like, you know, 245 yards rushing. The offensive line's really coming together, but just one little thing I just want to keep an eye on.
Daniel also writes in, P.S., if I take my 7-year-old to a restaurant to watch the game and put him to sleep at the half across three chairs, am I a bad dad?
No.
I would say probably not. That's a bonding experience right there.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You're going to roll your jacket up? Because if you roll your jacket up and give him a little pillow, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
No pillow,
keep
I think warm. It's borderline.
Keep
you're a bad
warm.
Dad.
Make sure he's got a little something to put his head on. Nothing like that. It's a good bonding experience. Paul from Ontario. Hey, guys. That was spectacular. My good list starts with Jonas Gray. He was tremendous. Also on the good list, I'd put up the defense in general. They kept a high-powered offense in check all night. Here's the bad list. Brady in the first half. Two poor picks. The play calling. The run was working, and we went for the deep ball that was picked off. Yeah, you want to keep the opposition honest, but it was an unnecessary deep ball into multiple coverage. And clock management early in the fourth quarter, while the game was still just about alive, we were snapping the ball with 10 and 15 seconds left. We could and should have chewed a little more clock. Yes, they're a bit nitpicky on a night like this, but there isn't too much bad. Go Pats.
Well, I agree with the last part. There was so little bad that you really are nitpicking, and we tried. We've been talking about it the whole show. Can I just say one thing about the
absolutely
the deep balls? It wasn't so much the play calling that I didn't like. Now, this was one of those games that they ran the ball so well, you could almost understand if they just said, you know what, we're just going to run the ball until they stop us. And they never did. They never stopped us from running the football. But isn't that kind of what you want to do, is run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and then take shots off play action? Isn't that kind of like a really, I don't know, tried and true football play calling kind of method? Now, where they got in trouble is it wasn't there, and Brady still threw it. Under pressure, by the way. He got really, that might have been the best hit he took all night. That first pick to Timms, he threw the ball before he wanted to. Timms was not open, and there was multiple guys in coverage. Like, to me, the problem was the decision to throw it. It wasn't there, but the play call itself, I didn't mind the play call. I just didn't like the execution. It wasn't there. And you usually trust Tom Brady not to make that play.
Snowman in North Carolina says, I listen because of Eric. We love Eric. Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
I'll tell him.
All right.
Been drinking?
It's not nice.
No, his name is
That's
Snowman.
Nice. Gary wrote in
Tapping
earlier.
Into grandma's cough syrup again late in the night.
He is Snowman. Two-head. Doper. Nose candy.
Hello. Rolled up dollar bill. Gary from Ohio writes, me and the wife were at the game. I will say it felt so good to watch the Colts fans leaving in the third quarter. We owned the stadium after the third quarter. It was just so real. We were just so dominant. I got to see it in person. Super Bowl bound, according to Gary. That's what he's writing. Mike from Sodak, checking in. He said, sorry, guys. He tried to call in earlier, but his cell phone service was bad. First, since you blew the top of the show...
Sure. Go ahead. Since you blew the top of the show.
Yeah, I'll plug your sponsor. I work weekends during football season and often don't catch the game until I get home at 2 a.m. I used to watch with Game Rewind on my 7-inch tablet. Now I watch on my 65-inch TV in surround sound through my Xbox One.
Nice. It is the home entertainment hub.
It really is. I've heard a lot of good things about it. He writes, I'm off the Browner bandwagon. He couldn't cover anyone tonight. Seriously, couldn't even cover Fleener. On the good side, I think...
Beetle was beside himself. He thinks Fleener stinks.
I don't think Fleener is good, and tonight he caught 144 yards in receiving. How many catches did he have? Seven. Seven for 144 tonight on seven targets.
Seven of seven is key there, too.
Don't be fooled by that guy, because he is... Listen, he did have one really nice catch where the ball was up over his head.
Yeah.
And I thought, I said, wow, that was a nice catch.
He probably got
and
away
got
with
hit.
A push off on that.
And he
too.
Got hit right away when he did reel it in. So I give him credit on that one, but I'm sorry. Fleener, don't buy in on Fleener based on what you saw tonight.
What about Browner?
That was probably the best game of his career, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, it's career high in yards anyway.
Yeah.
So what about Browner, though? Where are we on Browner? This is now four games in.
Browner was bad tonight.
To the Brandon Browner experience.
Browner was bad tonight.
You guys are negative.
We're not negative.
He didn't coverage get any penalties skills, tonight.
His coverage skills are suspect, and that showed up
the
tonight.
Only reason he didn't get penalties is because they didn't throw the flag.
I didn't say he didn't commit any penalties.
He didn't have any penalties tonight. Mike, thanks for the thanks.
And
for
I
the
still
email
say,
there.
Actually, he didn't sort of deserve the T.Y. Hilton one because he had a nice jam at the line,
yeah.
And then Hightower hit him, which was on the line of whether that was okay, and hit him into Browner and just sort of bounced him off of Browner.
Adam Fox
incidental
writes
illegal contact.
Adam Fox has another Xbox point. He wanted to let us know that it's $349, not $399, as we had said in previous weeks.
Christmas is coming. The sales are getting fat.
$349 for the Xbox One. Get on that. Thanks.
Thanks for restraining yourself, Andy.
What?
Sales are getting fat.
So's Paul.
And you looked right at me, so I knew what you were thinking.
See, now he leads me into him, though. Yeah. He wants me to take
just
the shot.
Just leave it alone, Paul, if you don't want to take the shot. Kevin writes in, can you guys clarify what happened on that kickoff? I don't understand why it was a safety.
Why it wasn't a safety.
Why it was not a safety. He also writes, or what's stopping a player who accidentally fields it from accidentally knocking it into the end zone?
Well, because if you field it, you've gained possession.
Well,
you have to stop the momentum of the ball.
That's my flaw with the rule. I know, Andy, you had mentioned during the game that you think that's the right.
I do.
That's the right call.
I think
if it's a play like that happened, it's clear that it wasn't intentional.
Right.
Then I understand.
But that's the idea.
He's saying, what happens if a guy comes up to field the ball on the 5-yard line, okay? And he bobbles it. And now he's like,
accidentally bats it backwards.
Let's see if I can somehow bat this into the end zone and we can get a touchback out of it. Yeah. What's to prevent that?
I just don't.
My only thing is if that happens, how do they determine what was intentional, what was not intentional?
Well, I don't think they do. I think it would be a touchback if you did that.
What was technically like possession? Is it the same as holding the ball and taking a step, like football play type stuff? Like, what does it come down to?
I think the wording was key, is the impetus that pushed the ball into the end zone was still from the kick. If they feel that the forward motion of the kick has been stopped by the team, I'm not sure you need to possess it. But if the impetus that pushes the ball into the end zone is still the result of the kick, it's a touchback.
Well, based on that wording, I don't think that happened tonight. You think the impetus of the kick
got it in
the end
zone? I think the ball was still moving. I think he helped it, but I think it was still going in that direction. And I think the bigger issue is no one possessed it. No one possessed it.
That's for sure. And I don't think that – I think it was number 17 – when he came by, is that Whalen? He came by to pick it up, and I don't think he knocked it into the end zone intentionally.
Oh, no.
I think he bobbled the ball, and it moved backward. But I think that you do open a can of worms in that if, you know, with everything in that league that, you know, if you fumble on fourth down, you have to be the one to recover it because otherwise you fumble on purpose. And, you know, all the other things that they have, illegal batting on recovering a fumble. You can't bat a ball out of a pile. They call it illegal batting. There's all these things that you can't do intentionally, but yet you can do that, I guess. That's the rule. I mean, I think the rule was properly,
I like it.
It was properly enforced tonight. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Because I think otherwise you could have chances. I think there would be more judgment in the call if you didn't have the rule sort of the way it is now. And line drive
they take all
balls,
the judgment out.
Yeah, and line drive, but you know, squib kicks that hit off an up back. You know, he tried to possess it, so he didn't, and then it ends up in the end zone, and is that sudden? You know what I mean? I think you would just add more gray area.
Right.
And we had enough gray area in this game.
Frank's in Montreal. He's up
gray
next
matters.
On the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. What's up, Frank?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
You?
Doing well.
Can you hear me, guys? Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Two things I'd like to talk about you. First of all, congratulations for the show. We're huge fans here in Montreal. I actually travel down there with my uncles 3 times a year at Foxborough to watch the games.
Excellent. Very
tremendous. We love the dedicated fans who travel distances, and there are a lot of them, and they deserve some pats on the back.
First thing that I love about the Patriots is next man-up mentality. I think they showed a lot of that tonight. Ridley's out. Joe Legree steps up, no difference. He gets the job. He gets the job done. Results the same. Patriots win. Gerard Mayo gets injured at the beginning of the year. There's a guy, Jamie Collins, almost undrafted, second or third round, if I'm not mistaken, steps right in. He's filling in perfectly, gets the jobs done.
Yeah, no, that, absolutely. That's been a big part of, I think, their success lately, is they're getting contributions from a lot of different guys. And some of the guys that were already playing have played better. I think Hightower and Collins, two guys that we talked about earlier in the show, with Chandler Jones and Mayo out, those guys, I think, have elevated their games.
And in the back end, even, where they continue to throw bodies out there, Logan Ryan, Daron Harmon sees some time. You know, linebacker, the Casillas and Ayers with Hightower and Collins. You know, there's just bodies. And, you know, that's a good thing. By the way, I meant to say, Ted Johnson, your boy.
Yes.
Middle of the game said, Jamie Collins, young Roman Pfeiffer, which I thought was interesting. Kind of running all around, making plays, do a jack of all trades, you know, role player Roman Pfeiffer.
I could see it.
You know, I think he's a little longer, a little different build.
Yeah.
But in terms of the ability to go forward and get after the quarterback a little bit, go backwards, tackle.
And Pfeiffer was pretty old when he got to New England.
Yes.
He was a much better athlete when he was younger.
Stud, too. The ladies loved him.
Really?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Ladies like them some Roman Pfeiffer.
Okay.
All right, bro. Yeah. I guess Andy knows what the ladies are into.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We're coming back after a quick timeout. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick after this big win on the road in Indianapolis. First time he's won in that building in four tries.
Oh.
He got a win tonight. Would you like to share with the group there, Andy?
Just doing a little posting on online. My bad. That was
sounds like a technical.
That was a cutting and pasting problem, not any commentary on whatever it was you were talking about.
Bill Belichick getting a win at Lucas Oil Stadium, first time in four tries playing a game in that building. We're going to come back and hear from the head coach of the Patriots, and we're going to hear from you as well on the phone lines. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. It's the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Go nowhere.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Welcome back to the program. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Bill Belichick to the podium after this win tonight. Patriots now 8-2 after defeating the Indianapolis Colts. I'm assuming the coach was very happy. He must be happy with his team at this point. Now the number one seed for the time being in the AFC. And they that's good, Bill. You guys control it the rest of the way. Here's Bill Belichick after the game.
Oh, it was it was a good win for our team today. I was really proud of our offensive line in the running game. Thought those guys really did a good job, controlled the line of scrimmage. And, really helped us get the game under control. But overall, it was a good, solid team effort. 2 weeks, we had a little extra time to prepare for this one, as the Colts did. But, I thought our guys really worked hard in their preparation. They came out here and, when we, eliminated a couple of the mistakes that we made, when we didn't make those, I felt like we, did a pretty good job of trying to play the game the way we wanted to play it. So, hats off really to the offensive line, the tight ends, Devlin, Jonas, and those guys blocked well, ran well. Rob had a great run there. Julian had a great block. We did a good job in our run defense. Those guys up front on the defensive front linebackers did a nice job, too, making a one-dimensional game. So, a lot of things the Colts were able to do here this year. Fortunately, they weren't able to do them tonight. So, proud of what our guys did. Players played hard. They definitely deserve to win tonight.
You always talk about players making the most of kind of the opportunities they have. Jonas Gray got an opportunity to play, and he seems to be grinding it out like he should be grinding it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what he did it for us in preseason. He does it for us every day out there on the practice field. He works hard, and I thought he ran hard tonight, ran real hard.
You guys ran the ball real well against them late last year from a philosophical standpoint. Kind of the same thing you saw carrying over to this year, maybe some things on tape where you come into this type of game and you're going to feel pretty confident you're going to run it?
Well, if it's working, Scott, you can't keep calling those runs when you're only getting a yard. So, if you're handing the ball off and you're making yards, then you keep calling them. If you're not, then same thing. If you're throwing the ball and you're hitting them and you're gaining yards, then you keep throwing it. But, we're not just going to run it just to run it and gain nothing. But we had a lot of good plays today. Like Cam did a good job. Cam and Rob, at tight end on the edge along with those inside guys. Solder and Conley, Stork, Wendy, Seabass, those guys really did a good job. James Devlin, a great job on a lot of those lead blocks, those power plays, and some of those edge plays. So, it's a good team effort. You got to block them all. It's not any one guy. It's just good execution by our entire team, and the offensive coaching staff did a real good job, put a good game plan together. Plays complemented each other, and we were able to keep them off balance there.
Did you go into the break, Bill, into the bye week, and say, there's some issues in the game that you really have an opportunity to address and make it maybe a point of emphasis?
We really looked at everything, Tom. We tried to look at everything in that period of time. The offense, the defense, special teams, the running game, the passing game, all the situations, everything in the kicking game. We just, try to look at what we're doing and try to do it better. We got rid of some things that weren't as productive as we thought they would have been when we put them in, when we moved on to emphasize some things that we feel like are better for us. And will be better for us in this game and hopefully in the second half of the season. So we'll see how that goes. But, I think the coaches did a good job of that. And the players during that Wednesday practice, Tuesday meetings really embraced, what it's like to play. If we were playing us, what we do, what we, do well, what we don't do well, what we need to do better, what would make it harder for a team to play us. And we hopefully improved on some of those things. I mean, he was a real productive player, Notre Dame. Then he had the knee injury, and we just honestly thought he was better than the other back we had from Notre Dame, who we released there, Wood, and made that exchange.
And as you started to work with him and got to know him better,
And it's just like what we saw in Notre Dame. He's just, smart, hardworking kid. He's got good power, runs hard. He's not going to be the guy that in passing camp, you're going to walk off the field and ooh and ah about. That's not really his game. His game was what we saw tonight. And that's what it was in college. I think in talking to Coach Kelly and, some of the other players at Notre Dame that we had on our team or, that were familiar with Jonas, that they were, all kind of said the same thing, which is what we saw. So, but, he works hard every day. It's not any one thing or one great epiphany of something that happened. He just comes to work every day, gets better. Things he needs to work on, works the coach fears, things he needs to work on, he tries to improve on. His blitz pickup, his assignments in the passing game, his runs and his reads in the running game. And he's gotten a lot better at those.
If you do get to the end of camp, but there's always tough decisions to be made. You only have 53 guys. How tough was it at camp just to?
Yeah,
you might lose him there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, because he was productive in preseason. Yeah, we talked about that long and hard, and we really talked about bringing him up onto the roster several weeks before. You know, we did even before the after the Buffalo game when he came up. But I had several conversations with him in previous weeks. Telling them that, you're close. We want to try to get you on the roster right now. We had a couple other issues that we had to deal with. But, I think we all felt as a coaching staff that he would be playing for us at some point this year at that final cut. And, obviously we didn't want to expose him, but we do what we felt was best. So.
Coach Grant has always been a very physical player. The last couple of weeks, has he gotten more physical, or the plays that he involved in have been more physical? Because it just seems like he's pushing guys around.
Well, I think Rob is always, obviously been a great player and does a lot of things well, but I think he has a determination when he has the ball in his hands that, it's going to be hard for, he's going to have to make guys, work hard to tackle him. He's not going to go down easy. He's not going to go out of bounds, and he's going to make them put him on the ground. And, he's taking a real aggressive attitude toward that, and he's been a hard guy to tackle.
What's the explanation on the kick? It seemed like the ball was going to die inside the five. I think the game was 28.
That the impetus of the kick was what put it into the end zone.
Okay. It's like they pushed it in.
Right. Well.
On a muff.
Yeah, the explanation was that it was still the impetus. Right, I understand what you're saying. I asked the same question, but the explanation was the impetus of the kick was still eventually what drove the ball into the end zone. So that's,
Coach, have you noticed that in the six games where your team has scored first, you've won all six of those games? Is there a scheme or is there a confidence within the team when that happens?
I don't know. I don't think it's, we try to score every time we go out there. So if we score first, great. There's going to be a lot of possessions after that. There's a lot of football left. So, that's not enough to win a game or not win a game. But it certainly helps. You always want to try to score first and play from ahead. There's no question about that. We always try to do that.
What led to that interception for in the first half? It's kind of uncharacteristic for the top three.
Yeah, well, obviously, we had two turnovers in the first half, and that's, we need to protect the ball better. We need to have fewer penalties and fewer turnovers. I had penalties on the punt returns. We had two turnovers, so, we got to do a better job of that.
Yeah, the challenge, how much was that? Maybe just to slow things down a little bit, or was that something that you thought?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, it was, it looked like a good catch, but it was a really close play. And that's what they set up in the booth. They said, it's probably, he's probably in, but it's really close. And, at that point, we didn't look like we were going to be wanting to stop the clock a lot in the rest of the game. And so did slow things down a little bit, gave us a chance to, talk about our, our red area defense there. Obviously when Allen went out of the game, then all the matchups and everything that we had gone into the game with changed a little bit because of Doyle and Fleener and not Allen. So some of our things in the red area, and always wanted to gave us a chance to get that right too. So we were, I might have taken a timeout there anyway.
Bill Belichick after the win tonight in Indianapolis. That play with the kick and going into the end zone, he addressed that as well.
The impetus.
The impetus of the kick was what drove it into the end zone. That's what it had to have been. He's obviously very high on Jonas Gray. Really liked what he saw from Jonas Gray in college. Talked about him in Notre Dame. Talked about keeping him with the team. Glad he's still here. All that stuff.
Worried about losing him at the end of camp. Thought about bringing him up sooner rather than later when the injuries hit with Stephen Ridley. He's a big Jonas Gray fan. He and Fred Kirsch going to have to battle it out for the drive in the bandwagon.
Yeah, or who gets to sit next to him on the flight home.
By the way, you may not think that Andrew Luck is an elite quarterback, and certainly you have the right to that opinion, but his meme, or whatever it's called online, very funny. Another one, Dearest Martha, despite our efforts, our patriotic opponents tonight were better than us. Very funny. Elite mem, if that's how you say it.
Does it work?
Or memmy.
Does it work on the radio?
Oh, I think so. Dearest Martha's funny. And our patriotic opponents. Also funny.
All right, let's go to back to the phone. Shall we go back to the phones?
Sure, you're the host, so you can do whatever you want. You're the only one who has that power.
And
Paul's posting, so he'll be off for a little bit.
Paul, yes. We're going to keep doing the show, okay? You just do what you're doing, we'll do the show. And by the way, Andy, it's meme.
Is it meme?
Yeah, Gasper talked about this on the radio the
other
day.
Oh, jeez.
Doing a show.
I'm here. I'm contributing.
M-E-E.
He can't use that word.
M-E-M-E, meme.
I mean, that's only four letters. That's like 15 letters shy of the words he likes to use.
Yeah, big ones.
Big ones. He's got big ones.
He's got big words.
I'm talking about the words, nothing else.
Let's go to Mike in South Dakota. He's emailed us many, many times today. What do you got, Mike?
Hey, well, you already read my email.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot.
You have any new material?
Well, I got a little. You know, I was watching the game, and I kept watching Fleener, you know, make yards, and I kept wondering why Collins was in there. And then I'd watch Collins and say, well, he's busy.
Right.
Collins made a lot of plays off the line. I really enjoyed
still. I'm not buying it on
Yeah, I, Collins well, played really well, but
Fleener at times.
It is funny that you have your big number two corner can't cover Fleener. And you're right, Collins was all over the field. I thought he tackled well. I thought he made some plays. But, you know, Paul said it once. You know, how come we don't have Collins on Fleener? That seemed to work pretty well last January.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But every time I looked at where Collins was, he was tackling somebody. So I was okay with that.
That's right. I just wish our number two corner was covering a little bit better.
Yeah. What else you got, Mike?
The other thing I'm wondering is, you know, Jonas Gray had an amazing game today, and I don't want to take the sail out of his flag, or the wind out of his sail. Sorry, I can't talk.
There you go.
But both of the teams that he's really scored a lot or put a lot of yards on are pretty easy teams to run against. And I'm really hoping that when we...
That's a negative around here, Mike. That's another negative point.
I don't know, Mike. You're kind of going down Paul Perillo's side of the street here.
Easy teams to run on, Mike. Easy teams to run on.
I didn't say anything about Jonas Gray today.
No, generally negativity is associated with you.
I don't think so.
All right, Mike, thanks.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
And, yeah, I'm not ready to say Jonas Gray can run like that whenever he needs to. You know, if there's a wind, rainstorm, anything. Jonas Gray. He had a great night.
Yeah.
The offensive line had a great night. Against a team that isn't very good against the run, is undersized, and we'll see moving forward.
We didn't,
right?
They
got a test this week. Detroit Lions, pretty good football team, pretty good defensive front, right? A little different this week. Yep. We'll see how they handle that.
We did not hear from this individual in the pregame show.
He died.
We were concerned that he was in danger, and now he's on the line. Jeff in Vegas is alive. Jeff lives. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
We thought for sure you were buried in a shallow grave in the desert.
We thought maybe you had crossed Jeff Bezos and he made you disappear.
Yeah, I've apparently struck up this friendship with the 15th most affluent individual on planet Earth, and now other people are starting to take notice, and it's been sort of overwhelming. I'm starting to, catch on out here in Vegas. I've been working a lot, and I was out late last night with a few young ladies, and the time got away from me. I apologize.
You're full of it. You were not out with a bunch of young ladies, and if you were, it was in the friend zone. You were doing nothing of, you know, any interest.
I got this other eye candy show starting up, but what a win that was. Signature win.
Wait a minute, hold on, Jeff, before you get there, how did you meet the Amazon guy? Seriously, how did that happen?
Okay, great question. I was at the Wynn, and just during the week, and I sort of hang out. There's that main bar, and there's a lot of traffic there. And I was just doing the five question game. You just ask, like, say a girl that's there to answer five questions incorrectly, and you say, like, you know, what property is this? You get the wrong answer. What town are we in? The wrong answer. What color is my shirt? Wrong answer. And you say, well, how many questions is that? And I say three. And say, oh, you get the one. And if they get that, after that, you say, if they say, how many questions is that? And say, you know, they say 15. You say, do you play this before? And they go, no. And they say, oh, you lost again. Because the answer incorrectly would have said yes. And so I guess Jeff, so the people were just bursting out laughing. So this little bald guy comes running over. He's like, I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. And then, like, 4 hours later, it's, I don't know, he's just hanging out. So,
Jeff, that story doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. But you know what?
It's completely true. Yeah,
it just doesn't add up. Something about a dumb game.
I didn't understand a word he said.
I want to understand how it is that you met the guy. That's all.
It's just energy and enthusiasm. You see stuff
energy,
going on.
Energy, you see, it's just, you're talking in loose, vague terms right now.
Or
it's
con artist sees very, con artist and they get along.
Very vague.
There was a girl, Courtney, too. The other girl was in the Twitter picture. Courtney was extremely
Get back to the game. The game was more interesting. Go back to the game.
Yeah, guys, haters be hating. It was another, you know, full almost
quarter
of garbage time. And, guys, if we somehow get this done and go all the way, I mean, what a nice, you know, icing on the cake, feather on the top of Tom Brady's career. That would remove all doubt of greatest quarterback in NFL history, you know, for the most, pretty much. And I'm going to be, I got my Belichick custom jersey on. I'm going out for about the next 4 or 5 hours in Vegas, just carousing, just rubbing it in to all, there's a lot of Indy fans in town. And everybody's watching that game tonight. Another great win. And I don't know, maybe do some lunch. Let's do some lunch this week, guys. Lock it in.
Lock it in. All love right. to hear
Later.
It.
Later. Jeff in Vegas. He meets one of the like richest men in the world.
Because of some stupid game, he claims.
Some dumb 5-question game. I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't either.
I didn't get that either, but I just figured that was one of those things that you young guys do.
But all I care about is he's buying lunch. Lock it in.
He locked it in. I just know that, you know, you meet a guy like that, there's probably a good story behind it, but clearly there's not.
No.
The guy's worth $30 billion.
Yeah, but he's hanging out at the Wynn late night, or was it the Wynn? Whatever casino it was. I could see that happening in Vegas. I think Vegas is the type of place, if you just hang out long enough, you're going to run into people.
Was he? I couldn't tell. When he was talking about garbage time tonight in that game, you didn't pick that up? You just gave me like a glassy-eyed stare.
I have not been listening.
Okay. He was talking about like, you know, garbage time tonight, and I was like, was he like sort of downplaying the win by saying the Patriots tacked? Because the garbage time tonight, the Patriots dominated.
Right.
That's what I think he was saying.
Okay, but so was that like supposedly like the offense wasn't as good as it looked because they got 2 touchdowns in garbage time
like that?
Yeah, like I didn't really understand that.
We got a couple of calls on the line from Australia.
G'day, mates.
They've been on the line an equal amount of time. So what do you think, Brad or James? Who do we go to first?
Bradley.
Bradley, it is.
Bradford.
What's up, Brad?
Fellas, how are you, mate?
Tremendous. Did you see Gronk kicking ass and taking names?
I'm getting to that. You guys play 3 up and 3 down?
Sure.
I've got 3 for
you.
Right?
5 questions? What are we doing? Go ahead.
3 up, 3 down. Don't interrupt.
Exactly. Leave me alone, Beetle.
Okay.
Now, 3 down.
Sorry.
Fans earlier in the show, negativity in this town sucks.
That's true. They're down.
Right? Exactly. The imposter playing quarterback in the first half, that's a down.
Yep.
Big Al.
Big Al, he didn't even call in. Are we still down on him for previous transgressions?
Yes, constantly. That guy is a joke. He's an absolute disgrace. Anyway.
Oh.
3 ups, right?
All right, 3 ups. Bring it.
Jonas Gray?
Obviously.
Obviously. This guy was a gun. And also, the guy called in or emailed in at PSW earlier, calling for Gray 130, and you guys laughed at him.
Yep, Paul mocked him.
Exactly. So
that is absolutely true. I deserve, because I did. I chuckled. Like I think a guy said 136 yards, and I laughed.
Well, you should have. It was $1.99. Sold him way short.
Exactly. And also, I thought real underrated play tonight. Like Amendola made a little catch, but took a massive hit after it. I thought that was pretty good. He's not, you know, he's not a superstar, but he's making plays. LaFell, that third down in the third quarter when they you know, it was just after they made it a 1-score game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a huge third down. He didn't do much tonight. Obviously, it was all running game, blah, blah, blah. But that was a huge down. He did drop it. That's all we need from him.
Yep.
And my third up, it belongs in my pants for Gronkowski.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Got a Gronk spike in your pants?
Well, exactly. When I could see it coming when he motioned across. I thought to myself, this is it. I went and got the tissues. By the time he rolled into the end zone, I was done.
Okay. See you, Bradley.
So that's it. I'll leave it to that, fellas, and Andy went on.
How long are you letting him go here?
Right until now. Bye, Brad. Good talking to you, bud. Thanks for the call.
You want to get a little more descriptive, a little more vulgar? I know you guys aren't allowed to say that on your station.
Well, this is the internet. It's the Wild West. James is in Australia as well. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Again, how are you?
Tremendous.
Thought as much, yeah. Got a couple of good, couple of bad, and injured. We've got good. It's looking like the Patriots are going to be hosting a game the weekend I'll be in Boston in January, so pretty happy with that.
Yes, that should be fun.
Good. Another good is Gronk's run blocking. I thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah,
good point.
Gronk's physicality tonight was off the charts.
His performance in a game like tonight is the reason why people consider him hands down the best tight end in football, because he doesn't have to just catch 9 for 120 yards and 3 touchdowns. He can dominate a game the way he did tonight as a blocker, too.
True that.
I didn't mean to play you outside of the street. Sorry.
A couple of bad. Brady's decision-making in the first half, that was a bit off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know people are saying, oh, he couldn't step into the deep ball. He threw into triple coverage either way. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But the fact that he couldn't step into the deep ball is why he shouldn't have thrown it.
Well, you know, he might have started to kind of start, and oh, Andreas can't stop.
My other bad would be the Colts continuing to try and trash talk, even though they were down by about 20. That was just really confusing.
Yeah, I think the Colts still have a little bit of that lack of physicality chip on their shoulder. They want to be something they're not. They're not a physical football team. They're not, you know, a run-based power. They're still a little bit of a finesse team. So I think there's still a little bit of a mentality there, and Bertrand will play right into it. You know, 0-3 against the Patriots, and you know, you're sort of that little brother that still wants to be considered part of the big boys group.
It did sort of remind me of the Ravens' light edge, where you know how the Ravens keep trying to chat away and get under your skin, but they just couldn't quite, you know, punch you in the crotch, as it were.
Okay, well put. A lot of crotch talk from Australia.
Yeah, really.
Whether it's punching or excited or...
A lot of crotch talk. Yeah.
They're big on crotches down there. The old... Well, it is the Croc Dundee test. You give them the old grab of the grapes.
Grab of the grapes.
More emails coming in, trying to keep up with these. There's so many of them.
38 Shades of Gray is what they're going with on Game Day Final on NFL Network for like the little headline.
Graham wanted to add something to the bad list. Amendola did not do a good job as a returner tonight.
No, wasn't great.
The good. Here's one from Mar on the good. I think the play of Cameron Fleming is underrated, and he needs to be applauded for his blocking. He's a huge part of the 199 Shades of Gray that won us this game. Paul actually mentioned that, I think, early on.
We did.
He did.
Yeah, Cameron Fleming, a big part of that.
Now, it'll just be interesting to see, since he missed, I don't know, 5 weeks with a finger injury, if he... How he is with a leg injury.
He might miss 3 years and be Taurus ACL.
Steven writes in, I think this is the game that we of Pats Nation have been waiting for. I believe both Andy and Paul have both said they want to see the team line up and just run the bleeping ball. Jonas Gray, four big checks on that. I think that was Andy that's been on that side of the argument. Correct?
I like to see the ability to run the football.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. We both disagree with Paul on that one.
Paul's wrong.
Well, it's not that I... didn't like to see them run for 245 yards.
Necessary, but what I didn't feel it was necessary.
What I'm saying is, I have not said I need to see this team run the football.
Yeah, it's not that you don't like it; it's just that you didn't feel it was a necessary part of.
You don't believe in
it. They do.
No, unlike some people, like your co-host, to continue to bring in Tony Maz into the show.
Oh, now we're saying names.
There needs to be a certain way it's done. The right way to do it is. Balance on offense and shut down defense and stop the run, run the ball, and all these different things that have to. I don't care.
That crap.
I don't care. If I'm really good at something, I don't care if I'm not great at everything.
And we know this team's very good at throwing the football.
40.3 points per game, I believe, in the 6-game winning streak. I don't care if they do that with Tom Brady throwing for 350 yards or 150 yards. If they score the amount of points, it's fine with me.
I think they need to get Aaron Dobson involved more.
Yeah, you know, Tim's getting Tim's involved was great tonight too.
Tim's and Wright, we were getting involved.
Tim's
early.
And
good
Wright
call there, we're lobbing it up to Wright. 42
points again.
Couple of emails coming in that make a very good point. We were talking earlier about potentially who you could face as a running back in the field, and then we included the NFC. One we left out: Andre Ellington from the Cardinals, potential threat.
I don't worry about him.
Yeah, we left him out though.
I think he's a very good player.
Paul just discredits running games.
No, I think
both,
he's
both Patriots and opposing teams.
Jim Brown.
I think he's running. Andre Ellington and Jim Brown. Really? No. Even for you, that's an embarrassment. I think Andre Ellington's a good player. I think he's a really good player. Do the Cardinals scare you offensively, Beetle?
No, it's their
defense. Do you think Andre Ellington would do anything to this team offensively?
I think he could give you some problems.
With Drew Stanton playing quarterback.
I think he could give you problems.
Oh, please.
I think he's a versatile back. Running. Running backs. Who cares?
He is a good running back, but they don't have an offense that... all you'd have to do going into a game like that, if you were worried about him, is... we're going to stop him. That's it.
I can sum up Paul in one word. Dismissive. Andre Ellington.
Again... You guys don't have to agree with me. It's okay. It's three different people on this show, and we can all have our own thoughts and ideas. I am not very big on the running back position, and I don't really think it's all that necessary.
Sam in Chicago has an interesting point. Do you think the Patriots will be underdogs when they go to Lambeau in 2 weeks?
I hope so, the way it's going.
It's worked for him the last couple of weeks.
I know it has, but based on what Green Bay has done and based on...
They probably will be.
They're probably
a slight
underdogs.
Underdog, yeah.
Yeah, I would say you're looking at a similar situation to what you went into in this game. But at least with the Green Bay game, it's understandable. It's completely justified. Like, if you look at those two teams... You look at the way the Packers have played...
I think they're very similar
recently
teams.
And have played at home recently. I think they've been really good at home.
Well, the Colts are the highest scoring team in football.
Yeah, I think they're very similar teams with great offenses and suspect defenses.
Yeah, I have more faith.
And they're both very good at home.
I have more faith going up against Aaron Rodgers than I do Andrew Luck.
Well, I know you hate Andrew Luck.
I don't hate Andrew Luck.
And yes, Aaron Rodgers is more established.
I just don't overrate him like the rest of the world does. Or I should say the national.
But you know what isn't
perspective?
You know what isn't rated?
Pump
statistics.
This guy up like he's the greatest guy.
He was the highest scoring offense in football. There's no opinion in there. That's a fact, not an opinion, as some like to say, on some radio station in some city.
That would be Felger. You guys don't want to say the names. I'm just saying names.
But, yeah, I think the Packers probably will be favored a little bit, but it also, you know, could depend on this week. If the Patriots go out and blow doors against the Lions.
And the Packers were to lose. Yeah.
I don't know
who
they're playing.
All three Packers losses have been on the road. They have not lost a game at home.
Yeah, so they're great at home, and Indy's great at home.
Okay.
Packers are a better team at home.
I think the Packers are a better team, period. But
yeah, that's what I think.
But I think they're very similar teams. They're offense-based teams with weak defenses that play very well at home. So I could see them being a similar favorite, like Andy said. Andy, I'm with you. I'm with you, pal.
I don't even know what the hell we're arguing about anymore.
This is the way we close out the show.
Poorly.
Yeah. Hey, good job tonight, Andrew Luck. Welcome to the elite club.
Yeah, he was terrible. You're right. He was terrible in that
welcome
game.
Welcome back to the elite club of being
the best. That was a good call by you.
Best all time, Andrew Luck.
Terrible.
Way to be the best, kid. Love it. Good stuff.
Too bad your boy couldn't keep up with him.
He's had his own. He's had weeks, though. He's pretty good. Pretty good quarterback.
He's had weeks, though.
He's had weeks.
What does that mean? We're not going to use full sentences to close out the show tonight. He have weeks.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be back next Sunday, right?
Sunday at 1, baby.
Sunday, we'll be back prior to that. We got a 1 o'clock kickoff, so what time are we starting? 10:45?
10:45, traditional PPGS time, as it should be.
10:45 start time next Sunday.
Jonas Gray gets a test up front from the Detroit Lions, a physical defense. Your O-line, Ryan Wendell and company, you want to show me what you are?
What did he average per carry tonight?
A lot. I don't
5.2.
If he's over 5 yards a carry next week on 15 carries or more, I'll be really, really impressed with that.
I will be too. And if Tom Brady is not sacked once next week, I'll still be impressed with that as well.
10:45 next Sunday, we get ready for Lions-Patriots from Gillette Stadium. In the meantime, keep sending those Shades of Gray photos to Andy on Twitter.
Please.
Fred.
At Jumbo Heart. I need all
Fred
I can get.
Loves it. Yep, thanks to Ryan Wendell for joining us from Indianapolis. Thanks to all of you for listening. Our producer, Kevin Collins, Paul, Andy. I'll see you guys next
week. Paul's dancing.
Yeah, I'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots are back home to take on Calvin Johnson and the Lions. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me and a third and four from the 10. Brady in the pocket has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots Postgame Show.